Did it come back?
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Rob here. Who's on? Everybody?
We've got Sean, Phil, Pat, Dwayne, Lori, Jeanette. Jim is in a meeting in Phoenix. He won't be joining us, so it's just the internal team.
Okay, welcome. Welcome. So, what is on your mind in this beautiful day?
It may be beautiful where you are.
it's a little gray here, but that's all right.
First off, the video wouldn't open for us, so we need to resend a link or something.
Okay. I will. That's not good.
I thought your assignment was good for this week, though. So your assignment to us for this week was to have each person say a little something about their area of responsibility. So the director of planning, which is Dwayne, was going to tell us something about planning and segmentation. And talking about a plan, maybe Sean might have ideas about some methods we can use to make sure that every client has an up-to-date financial plan.
So you may know this already, but Sean by title is a wealth advisor associate, which means that he comes on board under a program where all he does for the firm is create financial plans, both in our GPS program and in our LifeView program. And so he probably has in the GPS maybe 1,000 of those done, but in the LifeView, which are the more comprehensive, you know, probably in the scores of those. And Sean and I have worked very, very well over the last 15 months to make the LifeView a big part of what it is we do, because we find that clients tend to disclose everything when you're building a plan like that. So when we had our team review with Morgan Stanley's branch manager, I think we had 85% of our clients had some form of a financial plan or another, a GPS or LifeView. So as far as the complex average, which I think was at 20-some-odd percent, we're at 80%. So it's a huge part of what it is we do. And, you know, this morning was a perfect example. A prospect came in. I had offered to do a plan for her because she's somewhat of a friend on a business valuation and things like that. And at the end of the four-hour meeting, she ACAT'd over her $600,000 with another $250,000 coming sometime in the near future. So it really does work well as a demonstration of the depth and breadth and the type of perspective and thought leadership we bring into the financial planning process, which of course trickles down to all the things that we do. But we try to lead as best as we can with a life view, and where we're meeting Phil's pre-existing or legacy clients, we're using that as an opportunity to introduce, you know, the team members to a new relationship that Phil may have had for quite some time, but it allows us to be a little bit remedial in the questions we ask and kind of start the relationship over, which nobody seems to mind. And in fact, it puts everybody right back into a more intimate relationship with us. So from a financial planning, from the planning perspective, and I guess that's my role with Sean, I'd say it's probably one of our strongest points.
Well, I like the thing you said, Dwayne, about your meeting today with Sean. What the woman said, her current advisor that she had cast away told her, the Raymond James guy told her she had to have $3 million before she could even think about retiring, and she thought she was going to be working until she was 80.
Yeah.
And she was so relieved to know that, you know, because nobody didn't care enough to ask her what she actually needed.
And the truth is that the planning software we use is called MoneyGuide Pro, and we use it, and Merrill Lynch uses it, UBS uses it, LPL is just acquiring it, and Raymond James has used it for 10 years. So her current advisor has the same tool, but as a transactionally based advisor, not one who's in this kind of supernova mindset, she doesn't even utilize it as part of the review process. So it's that powerful a tool when you're really good at it, and I think we're really good at it. So, like I said, I think we lead with that as an absolute strength. Difficulty sometimes is that it can be expensive to do if you don't ultimately acquire the assets. But so far, so good.
Yeah, I would think your probabilities of closing are pretty high if somebody goes through planning process. Some people mitigate that by charging. And that's nice, depending on where you are. You know, if you're really, really busy and you have more prospects than you can handle, then charge.
Yeah, Dwayne's had some success with that.
Yeah, we've charged, you know, an average of maybe $2,500, as much as $5,000. But in truth, while it's the same process, the work product is the same, I always feel as though it's somewhat taking advantage of the client, because what do they get? They get a published report that's a static document.
Yep. But when you can think of it, you know, you could think about it as part of the fee process for your intelligence. So, you know, like a surgeon, you don't pay for the surgery, you pay for the, you know, 30 years of experience.
And to that point, I want to say that we've agreed philosophically as a team that as we onboard each new relationship, we're talking about our fees as the service fee for whatever it is we do, from the portfolio management and design to the estate planning, the legacy planning, the long-term care, all of the risk management. And that fee going in, we're going to increase to 1.5% as opposed to the standard 1% advisory. And so far, there's been no resistance to that, given the bigger model of what Supernova is and all the things that we bring to the relationship. And it does take the eye off that advisory process. So that's worked out well, too.
So
congratulations.
With regards to the planning part, Sean has a lot of other responsibilities, but I was going to ask Sean if he had time and if his responsibilities allowed it. Maybe you could take a look at the ones that don't have plans, or their plans are becoming...
Yeah, there's a new screen that came out pretty recently on 3D under the Revenue Advisor Comp.
Mm-hmm.
It basically gives you a red light, green light if you're getting the 1%.
Right.
If you're not, it's red. And if it tells you if it lapsed or not, too.
We're beginning to get notices because they're a year old.
Yeah.
Trying to renew.
And even if people don't log on to their MSO within 18 months, it turns the light red.
Okay.
So you know that.
Oh,
you're not getting the bump
anymore
or at normal.
I'm going to need to sit down.
So here you may know that we have a carrot and stick program where you're incentivized an extra point to your grid if you have certain of these characteristics associated with every client relationship. So Sean has really been helping us monitor the status of those to make sure that we do pick up that extra point and to advise us when we're getting to the terminal part and we're going to drop that point. So that's a big, big part of what his eyes provide us during his transition going onto the team.
Yeah, maybe if you spent a little time with each one of us, and then we could, like, say we have this many, and then each of us could try to do X number a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here all week this week.
Oh, perfect.
Are you?
Yeah, great,
yes.
Good. Okay, that'll be a good thing.
Yeah, they can't force you to leave because they're all gone.
Yeah, so I think on the planning aspect of it, we lead with it, and on the in-person reviews that we do, what starts off as a lengthy process, as we did with the Nashes and with the CFIRS, when they come back in for their periodic in-person review, we can update the comprehensive plan in 30 or 45 minutes, hit the salient points, go over whatever significant changes they have the big takeaways, and everybody leaves, you know, real satisfied with the scope of what we've discussed.
Good,
so
good.
The implementation...
Okay.
That is you.
Yeah. So we were looking at your definition of implementation, overseeing the investment process, and pushing the buttons to make it happen, because that's incredibly time-consuming. And I had another partnership a while back that was so, in this capacity, really well set up, where I could just go on a client meeting. I could spend all my time with clients because whatever the outcome was, I would just put it on a licensed assistant's desk, like, okay, this person, open this, and set up active passive model 4 or whatever it was. And I just knew it was all getting done. And so then I could just go on to the next client. So I wasn't there, like, pushing those buttons and then going back to make sure, because you have to go back and follow up and see did that step happen, did this get approved. So the way that we set that up was actually implementation. The investment process would be something that the financial advisors would work on together. You know, what to streamline it, what managed models do we all feel really comfortable with? And then our licensed assistant would take over the physical task of making it happen as each thing was set up. So that's kind of where we are with that. But and then we spent a lot of time last week talking about that 24-month calendar. So we've got that squared away pretty well.
Okay, good.
Kind of where we are there. So Lori and Jeanette, if you want to talk about how we're doing with the folders and how you think we're doing with, like, getting across to clients that we're a team and it's okay to talk to all of us. And
so with the folders, I mean, they're all pretty much built for everybody except for the newer clients that we have to keep building them for. I think a lot of it is just kind of stuffing the information they talked about into the folder. We have one of the FAs really utilizing them, every meeting taking them in, so that's nice. And as far as answering the phone, like the brand implementation, they kind of drilled it in our head to put 515 Hamilton Group. So every time we answer the phone, that's what we're saying. So people aren't hanging up anymore. That's nice.
You hung up?
Yeah. They're like, wrong number, hang up. They don't
think. Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're pretty golden there.
That's good.
Can I make a suggestion on the phone?
Yeah.
Answer Morgan Stanley 515 Hamilton Group.
There you go.
Instead of the other way around.
Morgan Stanley 515 Hamilton Group. Oh,
okay. Right? Just when they hit Morgan Stanley again, there they don't have a wrong number.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
I think the consistency of what clients are experiencing is very good. And today I was particularly pleased from a team perspective. You know, Sean started off the meeting with a client and built all of the background financials and did the foundational work on the life view. When she decided at the end of that she wanted to transfer her accounts, Lori came in and handled all of that paperwork. So, you know, the entity is working quite well in the various roles that we perform. And it projects, I think, a very, very nice image to the client that there's, you know, an entity, a small organization that's here to support the relationship that they have with the firm, albeit through an individual advisor, but that there is, you know, a number of people behind the scenes that are making it all really work. The marketing, who's that?
So, you know, I have one more thought on the service and brand that kind of leaks into accountability and leadership. But the other good thing that's happening with Lori and Jeanette is that they are both studying to get their license, and so that's coming along. So eventually, we're going to have everybody will be licensed, and then everybody will be able to do everything, which will be awesome.
Yeah, that goes back to the my notes aren't open. I'm sorry. The what was the 4-block model we were talking about last week? The Covey model.
Yeah, that's coming up under.
Right. So in the Covey model, when they both get their license and they can legally push all the buttons, that really takes a lot of some of those activities away from us and makes us more focused on the front side of the relationship and you know the interaction with the client. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah. Excellent.
Marketing.
Okay. Marketing.
We've put together actually the concept that there will be two of us. Actually, every one of these roles, we've decided there should be two or in some cases three people. Marketing is me and Pat. I've been doing things like the website and social media, running a newsletter. Pat has been doing the seminars and special events. So between the two of us, we get a lot of, impersonal but meaningful contact with the clients and prospects. What I look at on all of this is whatever role I have, the backup person ultimately takes over because they won't let me stay here after I leave. much as I would like, I've already said, well, can I still do this or that? And they say, no. Once you're gone, you're gone. That's just the way it is. One of the things I had as an agreement with the company three companies ago was I would write a newsletter and they would let me do it as long as I didn't violate any compliance problems. And 30 years later, I'm still doing it. So it seems to work.
Good.
And I do quick thought. I had a few clients who over the years said to me, you know, you're in touch with us more than our previous broker, and even if it was just the newsletter. And I remember one client in particular saying, when were you going to stop sending it? And I said, when you died or I did.
Right.
You know.
What did he say?
He said, well, keep it up.
Right.
You know, he's still a client. But the point is that when you have a good prospect, you should never give up.
True. No, and even those touches that, so Phil has been really good just naturally in his practice about keeping in touch with clients over the years. So he's been really faithful about calling them regularly and sending them birthday cards. And those birthday cards mean a lot to people. So we're going to, you know, we pick that up and continue that. And those phone calls, we had a couple that I think they were a little on the young side when you started working with them, and now they were just beginning to get to a place where maybe they could do some real business. And they were like, Phil, you know, you just kept up with us all those years, and of course we wouldn't think about going to anybody else. So that's really been great.
Pat mentioned birthday cards. That's something I got in the habit of doing 40-plus years ago. Mm-hmm. But one of the things we do also, which is an idea I picked up from when I was at Legg Mason, we do not send a Christmas card. We send a Thanksgiving card. Nobody else does.
When yeah,
you
that's
open
great.
You open your mail at Christmas, you get 37 cards, and you don't give a damn. You open your mail in November, and there's one Thanksgiving card, and we're it.
Yeah, so that is nice.
You know, so it makes us think more.
It's a perfect holiday to do it because you're saying thank you.
Yep, exactly.
But on the website, do we get much traffic on the site that we know of?
We get some traffic.
So we have a very nice website. It's a lot of boilerplate stuff through the firm. Phil's done a nice job in customizing it as best as we're permitted to. But I don't know that we have any social media, real direct efforts that drive people there. I don't even know how people, you know, stumble upon it, to be truthful with you.
I think the numbers I've gotten from the website people is that our numbers are probably as good as anybody else's.
As anybody's.
But that, you know, unless you want to start spending money to put yourself top of the list with Google, and I'm not
yeah.
sure we do. I think it's more a matter of just, you know, it's the cost of entry. You know, you give out your card,
and you have to have,
and you have to have a website, and you have to have an email, and it's just whether it will generate a lot of leads in immaterial. More importantly, it just people know, oh, I can go on the website if I want information.
I think one of the changes that Patty's making on the seminar side, because she always does a great event with a lovely host and a good topic, and it's never a pressure deal, and it's a nice venue, but we were typically getting the same people who are always responding. So as an unintended consequence of our segmentation, we agreed that we would invite first those clients in the $1 million-plus range, and if we filled the event, that's where it ended, because we found that, you know, 10 out of 40 people were in the 250 range, and they, you know, they had no more business to give, but they sure did like that filet mignon.
Oh, and it's nice. I mean, we want to keep in touch with everybody, but the problem was when we had to say no, that's when it started. We actually had an event where we had to turn people away that were really, really significant clients.
And it gives us an opportunity to tell our better clients to invite somebody that we don't know,
right?
And let it have some time to fill up with some new faces, because those personal events are really very, very successful.
So the other thing, when our sales are licensed, the marketing, some of that marketing stuff can be done by them as well, like the social media and the website updates.
Yeah, I would also just, a quick recommendation. I always look at your website as soon as I get an introduction to you all. I think if you have a full-on team, go ahead and have the cover picture encompass your entire team rather than just the financial advisors.
Yeah, we've been an expanding, morphing team over the last 6 or 8 weeks, and we're going to get new team photos and decide how we're going to be posed for all of it. But right now, we're 6 people, right? Two, four, we're six people, and there's only three on there. So, yeah, for sure
well,
we have to do that.
There's the group picture is three. There's individual pictures of four because we have Lori on the bios.
Right. Yeah, but that is a good idea. We are moving
on. We're still working on getting Jeanette into the system.
Understood.
And if they could, if they could ever decide to be a little more efficient with the pages, because I always print them out, and I print out like 12 pages, you know.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean anything except that people are the same looking through the website. I mean, you want to make it just, you know, if you have any influence, just tell them make it look more like a LinkedIn site or something that is a little more efficient, a lot more content.
Tremendous amount of restrictions on how that placemat style is created and what you can add and take away as content and what you can control. The most recent thing Phil did is he uploaded a really fantastic 2 or 3 minute video produced by the firm, but not necessarily firm specific, so the team can use it. And it's right on the face page, the landing page, and that really, I think, reflects very well. But there's not a whole lot of design flexibility he can impart.
The only thing I can do is stuff that I can write and get approved.
Yeah.
Or select stuff that they have already written and approved. But as far as actually changing the appearance of the website in any meaningful way, no, it's cookie cutter, and we're kind of stuck with that.
But can you describe specifically, though, what you mean by more efficient? Because
When you go onto the web page and you print it,
yeah,
it prints out inefficiently. So you get,
you get like 20 pages, and very little of it you're ever going to use. So I want, I'd like to have. I mean, look at LinkedIn, and then look at your web, and then look at your website. LinkedIn, you got everything on one page, and
everything.
I don't know how I would go from your website to LinkedIn and back, or to Facebook, or anything.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
I want to hear this because, like, it's interesting to hear the perspective of someone that's trying to click around. And
yours is the most difficult to work with of any firm.
Oh, that's okay. So when you're on another firm's website, can you name a firm that you think has a really great setup?
Well, I just don't have to do, I don't have to do the 15 pages. Let me look at Peninsula.
I don't want to tell you that one
is better than other. These guys are great and you're not so great. I mean, most of them are kind of terrible. They waste so many pages where, it's very difficult to work with them. Go on to, just any other company and look at their website and just say, wow, that's so efficient compared to ours. So anyway, I'm a guy that likes, I like to look at the page, see all the people, have the phone numbers, know where their office is, and then, everything, that should be on the first page.
Okay.
Right? That I need, one page.
Okay.
The people with their names, their phone numbers, their address, and maybe their titles. And that's it. That's all I need. That's why I go there. And then the rest of it can be individual pages. What am I interested in? I'm interested in getting to know you. So I want your page and then your bio under your individual page. But I click on that. That's fine. I can click on it. That's not too much trouble. But I don't want all this other stuff, down to earth investing and space economy. I mean, I'm not interested. Do I have to, I'm not interested in that. I'm sorry. If I'm interested, I'll go, whatever.
Now that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, knowing that, we can then speak to the people who actually know, like the website people, and see if maybe there's something that we can use that we're not using.
Some of that I can edit. down a little bit. And one of the things that we did, we had a really good intern with us last year, and he managed to take a lot of the pages from the website and put them into a PowerPoint that we can now print out as a brochure. So when you look at that brochure, you're seeing the photos from the website, that, you know, the, just the bios from the website, mm-hmm. and so forth. And we have a, you know, the ability to print it as anywhere from 6 to 12 pages and hand it out to people, and it looks just like the website, but without
the
space.
Think about it. You know, your our story, newsletters, what makes us different in location. I would think the location could be something you wouldn't have to click on, meaning it could be right there in the front page. Very, very few websites you go where it's not part of the front page.
I like that. That is good feedback. So the other thing I wanted to talk about with these guys with regards to social media is, I don't know that everybody here has a Facebook page, and I'm actually trying to get back into mine because the system that oversees the Facebook page for advertising through Facebook, I don't know what happens with it, but occasionally it boots you out and then you have to figure out how to get back in. So anyway, but the way that they're spending a lot of their advertising dollars is, if you have a Facebook, a personal Facebook, then they give you guidelines for establishing like a business Facebook. And
yeah.
Then somehow I noticed, like, you can put things on that business Facebook, just like you can put things on the LinkedIn, you know, things they've approved, and on Twitter.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But all of a sudden, like, the business Facebook is linked to your personal Facebook, and all of a sudden I notice that I get these Morgan Stanley one-minute ads that are for the public that I can share on my personal Facebook. So my big argument about their Facebook was that they don't really let you put anything up that's yours, and they don't let you like anything or respond to anybody, and that's the whole point of Facebook. But these, if the whole thing really is about connecting Morgan Stanley to your personal Facebook so you could share their one-minute ads. Like, they had one about teenagers and money, and they had one about selling a business. I think different themes, and then you share it with all your friends, then it's going everywhere. And then you get feedback that says,
in fact, you guys did that. Yeah, I used that one on selling a business, I think. I reposted that.
Cool.
We had, you know, compliance is one of those things that you just have to live with. And so one of us clicked on a picture on a Facebook or a LinkedIn thing. It was really just a picture of a Christmas tree lighting up. He's now in the penalty box because he clicked a like.
Right.
When
yeah.
it wasn't a like, it was a Christmas tree.
Right, that's funny.
You know, and now he's got 2 months of penalty box where he can't do anything on social media.
That is pretty funny.
That would be funny. Let's look at leadership in the last minutes together.
All right. Well, just let me hit you on one other thing, on just a general thing. On Facebook and Instagram, I would do all my recognition for charity work and your client appreciation events.
That's okay.
That's your Facebook.
Yeah. Okay.
So client appreciation.
But mostly charity. Yeah, put on the background of your Facebook page the charity that you're engaged with. You know, you can put wallpaper up.
Yeah.
Put the wallpaper of the charity back there. And then put a picture of your team at that charity getting involved. You know, you're building a house for, you know, House for Humanity, whatever that, you know, I forget. Anyway. Building houses for people, you know, new houses. So that's really smart. Let's hear on leadership.
It's Phil again. And one of the things I've tried to do over the years is run my business as a business, which means, you know, every month I want to look at the numbers. I want to know, you know, am I growing or shrinking? Am I adding new accounts? Am I, I do the business plan, so, you know, once a year we have to do a business plan, and I just take everything and say, okay, we as a group are going to aim to do so much business, so many clients, so much assets. Now, my problem is that every company I've ever worked for wants me to tell them what I'm going to achieve. I can't tell you what I'm going to achieve. I can only tell you what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can control my activity. I cannot control my results.
Right.
And unfortunately, that is the nature of every selling job I've ever had. Is, oh, how many, you know, if you're a car dealer, they say, how many cars are you going to sell this year? I don't know. How many people are you going to talk to? 20 a week. How many cars are you going to sell? I don't know.
Well, they're just looking for probabilities, that's all.
I understand that, but they're taking everybody's answer, throwing it into the mix, coming up with a number that they had in mind to begin with.
But still keep in mind, that's how they do their budget, too.
I know that.
Yes.
Me, Wayne, Pat are all responsible in that area. And again, at some point or other, somebody's going to take over doing the business planning because I won't.
Right. And so Dwayne is the backup on that because Dwayne has that analytical piece that, you know, that Phil's been doing, and Dwayne likes to see his business up on, you know, follow the profitability and everything else. So I think Dwayne is the perfect
I'm a perfect backup, but I have a slightly different perspective. I tend to want to limit the number of metrics that we work by to things that are more specific and meaningful. You know that the firm has the ability to mine data in 10,000 different ways, down to, you know, the number of phone calls you made, the number of people answered, and all that type of nonsense.
Three metrics, that's all you need.
For the operating business,
yeah,
okay. I completely agree. But from a firm perspective and the business planning, it's a little bit cumbersome. But, you know, Phil does a very good job in putting dimensions on our business every month. He writes reports on where we stand and where we're headed. You know, the forecasting is everybody's nightmare, and it's no different here. But, you know, our net acquired assets, which are a big part of the firm's remuneration process, as a team, we were, you know, third or fourth in this complex. So we're pretty good at that. The planning process and everything else about it, the marketing, the service, the brand, all that helps us in the net new acquired assets. So, you know, I think we're far from, you know, firing on all four cylinders, but we're getting awfully close to it.
Okay, just one other thing. If you go and look at the roles and responsibilities of the leader's role is to meet with each of the teammates every month. And you say, that's pretty intense. Well, yeah, I mean, you want to, everybody's got their roles and responsibilities, and you should have a folder for each person. You know who appreciates this the most is the staff. They really appreciate it. And as you're taking on more teammates and building the size of your team, this becomes a really valuable tool for you to make sure that they know that they're being appreciated because you're taking the time to listen to their goals and aspirations and making sure that it's clear what their roles and responsibilities are, et cetera. So it's follow-up is not necessarily a negative. In fact, it's really a positive in terms of people. People like to be accountable because what they don't like is to do the job and nobody pay attention, nobody care. So that's why we built the 5-star model and we built the folders for the leader with the 12-4-2s so they happen no matter what, just like a client meeting happens no matter what. And they don't have to be long meetings, but it's just every month touching, making sure that the person understands where they are versus where they're trying to be. Now, one of the team before you had a goal of increasing their assets and their revenues, their assets in particular, and that's how they pay their staff. So the staff is really interested in how are we increasing our assets on a net basis. So sometimes you pay people on net revenues, but you may also consider paying people on new assets brought in, net new assets, because then everybody's on the same page in terms of growth, not just on money brought in, okay?
That's a good idea.
So the previous team would structure the comp as a base plus a success on net new acquired, or how did they do it?
That's right. It'd be a base plus on net new acquired assets.
Right.
And they and you'd be surprised. The staff gets into it.
Yeah.
You know, because think about it. Everybody's concerned that, you know, we're going to have to pay out this money and da-da-da, and yeah, it's great, but what if we don't grow and we still have to pay out the money? Well, this way, hey, if you don't grow, there's no extra bonus with this piece of it anyway. And
yeah,
if you do, everybody benefits. So it's really an inexpensive way because everybody has – it's coming off of new money. Well,
right,
it's easier to share new money than old money, right?
Right, right.
Well, and it's nice to feel like you have some control over your bonus, or like you can contribute,
right,
you can do something, yeah.
Right, and you guys are growing. You have pretty consistent growth rates, so you know what that number is probably going to look like. And so that I just throw that out because I think under the leadership piece, it's nice to have you guys are incented. It's nice to have everybody incented. That's what makes capitalism work, right?
Yep.
All right. Our next call is scheduled for 2 weeks now, or next week?
Yes.
Not next week.
It's 2 weeks.
We take 2 weeks off, and then it's the next one.
Right.
After
that. 3 weeks from
now. Yeah.
No, it's not that either.
The 24th is canceled.
Next week is a holiday. 24th is canceled. The following Monday, you guys are on vacation.
Right. So it's the one, it's like the 9th, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. March 9th.
Wow.
So that's good, actually.
Let's see what we can do between here and there.
So let's keep doing this reporting in based on the 5-star model. It's very comprehensive. I think roles and responsibility are important. And you guys, as Phil said, you know, particularly in the marketing area, get that game board up and running because that's activity. That's what that's tracking. It's not tracking results. It's tracking activity. Get the activity right, you get the result. So I love that. And so everybody, you know, make some progress in your particular area of responsibility, and that is your homework.
Good deal.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you next month.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.